is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. I'm Rita Bittner. Today is All Souls Day, and we are speaking with Michael Ruck Sr., the president of Ruck Funeral Homes. Mr. Ruck has been a licensed funeral director since 1971, and he is the third generation in his family to be involved in funeral service. Mike and his wife Wendy are longtime members of the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary Parish in Baltimore, and this year they are celebrating 56 years of marriage. He has been recognized by both church and civic groups, and he has received the papal honor of Knight of St. Gregory. He rose to the rank of Knight Grand Cross in the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre of Jerusalem. Mike Ruck, thanks so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
Thank you, Brita. Appreciate it.
Could you tell us a little about the beginnings of Ruck Funeral Homes and what inspired you to continue in your family's funeral home business?
My grandfather and grandmother founded the Ruck Funeral Home in 1924. The first Ruck Funeral Home was in his mother and father-in-law's living room on Sefton Avenue off of Harford Road in North Baltimore. The second generation of the Ruck family, all four of the second generation, also became funeral directors. It was my Uncle Fran, my father Eugene, my Aunt Mary, married named Jordanetti, and my youngest Uncle Bernie. I'm the third generation, as you mentioned, and my son, Mike Jr., nothing original about me, is the fourth generation in the Ruck family to enter funeral service.
Did you ever consider doing anything else?
No. I was exposed to funeral service as a young man, unfortunately. I'm the oldest of seven kids. My mother died when I was 14 at the end of my freshman year at Coward Hall, and my father died 1 week before I started my freshman year in college in Louisville, Kentucky. And it was difficult years, but I remember all the people that came around to support and help us, and it kind of steeled me as far as what I wanted to do.
Sure, absolutely. Wow. I didn't realize you lost your parents so young. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Looking back, what moments or experiences, and there must be many, but stand out as some of the most meaningful in your career?
Well, the fact that people trust us to help them, and no matter what type of service they may select, we treat everybody as they're the most important person in the building at that point in time. But again, we have served Cardinal Keeler, and archbishops, and many politicians and other people that are very well known in the community. People trust us, and they've done that for the last 101 years.
Wow. How would you say your Catholic faith has influenced your work in this way?
You have to be an individual who believes. People don't grieve because their faith is weak. They grieve because their love is strong, and we're here to help them during that period of time. There are families that have written me letters afterward and say, we couldn't have gone through those 2 or 3 days without your help. I mean, funeral service is not going to take away all the pain and grief that loss brings, but it helps people to begin the process of recovering from the loss of somebody that they love. Yeah.
So beautiful. You've had decades of experience here, and so I imagine things have changed a little bit along the way. How would you say funeral practices and traditions have changed during your time, and what would your grandfather think of how we do things today? If he walked in, would he be surprised by anything?
Well, he probably would be, because back in the beginning of his years in funeral service, you didn't have funeral homes. Everybody had their funerals and services in their residence, and then they came to church, and then maybe went to the cemetery. But there's societal, psychological, and religious things, important parts of the funeral, which has been designed by society. Funeral directors didn't invent funerals. Man has always been a creature that disposes of his dead with ceremony, which is important. There are similar funeral practices that most societies, no matter how primitive or advanced they may be, incorporate. There's a period of visual confrontation or seeing the body. Seeing is believing. There's a period of social support. When they're paying their respects at the funeral home, you know, just as joy shared is joy increased, grief shared is grief diminished. People need support like that. Religious ritual. I don't advertise it on my bumper, but it's a very important part of my life. A funeral procession, which is nothing more than the sanitary way of transporting the mourners and the dead person to the place of final disposition, and that final disposition. That's what I would call a traditional funeral. I don't necessarily use the word traditional anymore. Mm. But there's, of course, there are changes that have occurred, such as the increase in cremation as a method of disposition. But it's important for people to realize that you can still have a visitation viewing, religious services, and then cremation. But there are a lot of choices and options that are available for people that weren't available years ago.
Sure. You said you wouldn't use the word traditional. Tell me a little about that.
Well, I don't use the word traditional because for some people it's a buzzword that just turns them off. I often would talk about what has been contemporary or part of what people have experienced from one generation to the next. Mm-hmm. Customary is the good word to use.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the biggest shifts you've seen or new things people have tried to do as they're celebrating a loved one? What are some things you see taking hold?
Well, to begin with, the Catholic Church. I mean, for years, funeral service, the priests were dressed in black vestments. They had three candles on either side of the casket up front. And now people, family members are invited to participate in selecting music for the readings, bringing up offertory gifts, eulogies. So in other words, it's an attempt, and a very positive attempt, on the part of funeral service to create a more meaningful service for families.
Mm. What is the most unusual thing you've seen, maybe, in the ways families might choose to honor or remember a loved one, something you might like to share?
Well, let's just talk about what is different. I have buried more lacrosse sticks, golf clubs, in a casket with an individual. And you know what? That's important.
Beautiful.
To people.
Sure.
It's important. And that's what we have to do, because the day that the funeral service doesn't have any meaning for people, it's when you don't have them anymore.
So true. Is there a tradition that's faded away that you wish would come back?
Well, the way families experience death nowadays is so different.
Mm.
I mean, 110 years ago, the life expectancy of a male child was about 12 years old. They died from infectious communicable diseases and they died at home. Today, the majority of people who die are elderly. They die over an increasingly protracted period of time, and they die away from their family. So the idea of bringing people together is very important.
Mm,
very important.
Beautiful. How did the COVID pandemic change how we celebrate our loved ones?
Well, there were restrictions that were placed on all organizations. There was there were limitations on gatherings.
Mm-hmm.
So if they passed, and when these things were passed, families couldn't have a period of visitation at the funeral home.
Oh.
They couldn't do it. Families couldn't go to a church for a service because they couldn't do it. So what we were able to do for families which didn't meet their needs, but all that we could do was they could come to the funeral home and spend a little time with their member of the family, immediate family only. Then we would be able to join with the priest or clergy at the cemetery and have a graveside service.
Okay. So you could at least do that?
At least that.
Mm-hmm.
And then as some of these restrictions became less impactful, we were able to have services like here in our chapel, but you had to separate people by pews. Had the same situation at churches and everything else.
Yes.
And then eventually, as everything came back to what I would consider to be a normal situation.
Must have been a relief when it
And it was, because I had a funeral of a close friend. Family was well known here in Baltimore County, but all they could do was the graveside service, and couldn't even have a reception or memorial luncheon afterward, because you couldn't gather.
Oh my goodness.
And he came to me and he says, "Mike, I know that we've done everything we can for Dad, but I don't feel like I've done anything."
So sad.
And a lot of your churches were aware of this, and they would schedule and let families know that there was going to be a memorial mass in their father or their husband's name, and they were invited to participate like that.
Oh, good.
So the importance of that religious services was back.
Absolutely. Yeah. Our guest today is Michael Ruck Sr., and we're talking about his years of service accompanying families as they grieve their loved ones. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation. I'm Rita Bittner. You're listening to Catholic Review Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
With inviting surroundings, complete independence, and an unmatched quality of life, Mercy Ridge is the unparalleled choice for your retirement lifestyle. It's a way of living that promotes an active, healthier life. Located in Timonium, Maryland, Mercy Ridge Continuing Care Retirement Community features a beautifully landscaped 32-acre campus. The grounds, dining, and recreational amenities and residences are designed to provide a gracious lifestyle and a variety of exciting activities. Visit mercyridge.com.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. Notre Dame of Maryland University in Baltimore has announced that its president, Mary Lou Yam, will retire effective June 30, 2026. She served as the school's 14th president since 2014, and during her tenure oversaw both the university's transition to coeducation and a 38% increase in enrollment since the fall of 2022. Under her leadership, the school raised $52.6 million in its largest fundraising campaign and boosted endowment levels by 40%. Yam led academic program growth at NDMU, including Maryland's first bachelor's and master's programs in art therapy, the state's first doctorate in occupational therapy, and the first master's of physician's assistant studies program at a private institution. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. Following the annual White Mass for healthcare professionals held October 26th at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Baltimore, theologian George Weigel delivered an address at Mercy Medical Center in Baltimore, warning Catholic medical professionals that they stand on the front lines of a cultural crisis. The Mass, celebrated by Archbishop William E. Lurie, drew more than 440 doctors, nurses, medical students, and other healthcare workers. The event was sponsored by the Baltimore Guild Catholic Medical Association. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. And from the Vatican, Pope Leo XIV emphasized that interreligious dialogue is not a tactic, but a way of life. Speaking at a celebration marking 60 years of Nostra Aetate, the Pope said dialogue requires standing firmly in one's faith while reaching out in love to others. He noted that all religions contain truth and holiness and urged leaders to help communities overcome prejudice and promote peace. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. And finally, commemorating the 1700th anniversary of the Council of Nicaea and its Creed, as well as reaffirming hope for peace in the Middle East, Pope Leo XIV will travel to Turkey and Lebanon November 27th through December 2nd. The trip to Isnik, Turkey, site of the ancient Nicaea, initially was planned for Pope Francis. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. For everyone at Catholic Review Media, I'm Kevin Parks.
Remember the spirit of your parish community, the power of worshiping together, the warmth of friends new and old who share your faith. Join us for Mass this weekend. Visit archbelt.org to find a Catholic parish near you. Feel the joy.
This is Archbishop William Lurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Review Radio. I'm Rita Bittner, and we're talking today with Michael Ruck Sr. about his faith, his career in funeral service, and how to support people through grief. Thanks for being with us, Mike.
Well, thank you for the invitation.
As you're accompanying people who are grieving, who is on your mind? Is there a loved one you've lost who's really shaped how you walk that journey with people?
Yeah. I think I had mentioned earlier, I was only 14 when Mom died, and that was a difficult thing for all of us. But when my father died, right before I started my freshman year of college, I had a very good friend of his who was at that time a priest assigned at St. Dominic's. His name was T. Austin Murphy. Yeah. And he came to me after Dad's funeral, and he says, Mike, your dad was loved by people. He helped them, and I hope someday you'll be able to do it as well. And that kind of steeled me to that.
Sure.
Yeah.
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 What an amazing man.
He was. And he smoked a cigar all the time.
You've walked alongside so many families in moments of deep grief. What have you learned about what people need most during that time?
A lot of it depends upon how they've experienced the death. When an individual has been in hospice care, which I think is very important, it's the holistic approach to death. It involves the dying patient, the family, the physician, and the clergy. Mm. So they have an opportunity to maybe say some things that they should say and maybe close the windows on some that need to be closed. And I've had families say to me that Mike, you know, Dad was in hospice for so long, and I'm happy that he's no longer suffering. So they're already beginning to work through that process, even before the death occurs.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Are there any particular moments or families that have made a lasting impression on you, stories that come to mind?
Yeah, there was this, and this happened years ago, but I remember it like it was yesterday. This man came into the funeral home with his daughter to make funeral arrangements for his wife and her mother. The death was unexpected. It was cancer, but it had not been diagnosed. And I was sitting with him. She was very quiet. And I was gathering information necessary for the completion of a death certificate for any newspaper notices. And then I asked him, I said, is there a particular church or clergy that you would want me to contact for you? Well, then the daughter spoke up. She was very angry. She was mad at God because he took her mom and everything else.
Yeah.
And Dad was just sitting there right next to her. And when she finished expressing her feelings, he looked at her and said, how can I be mad at the God that gave your mother and you to me? And it was like turning a faucet on for her. She apologized. She was crying. And then she became very involved in the funeral service arrangements for her mom. And that was part of her process of acceptance and grief that she had to go through.
Wow. What a beautiful moment for him to find the words.
And the strength.
And to be able, and to be so patient and loving with his daughter when he must have been feeling so much.
Yep.
This sounds like such heavy and hard work. I'd love to hear how you and your staff take care of yourselves. How do you care for yourselves spiritually and emotionally, given all that you're doing and all that you're caring with and for people?
Well, you know, you can't be in funeral service for a long period of time before you realize that death is a biological reality, but it has emotional port. It's an emotional experience. You can't grieve unless you love. And I've had people share things with me that maybe they haven't shared with a priest in a confessional. And those are things that we keep close to our heart as well. And it's important for us to be there to help them, because when they send that note back to you and say, we couldn't have gone through those 2 or 3 days without your help, and it's only the beginning, that's what makes what we do important and meaningful to all of us. Yeah.
Such important work. So grateful for you. What advice would you give to someone who wants to better support someone who's grieving, someone they love?
Be there. Don't feel uncomfortable about sharing your own experiences, because that's what the most important thing that the rest of the family wants to hear. The fact that the person that they loved, they're not really gone. They're going to be in your heart for the rest of their lives as well. Mm. It's important.
So true. So beautiful. Do you see your work as a ministry and not just a business? As I'm listening to you talk, I'm wondering.
I've had so many clergy who have said that our work is important spiritually and emotionally. And yeah, it probably is, but I don't look at it that way. It's just something that I just feel that we just need to do. But clergy who have said you're an important part in the process that what people go through is, it steals you for what you got to do.
Mm. What gives you hope in your work, and what helps keep you grounded in faith? I imagine you've said goodbye to many people over the years in your work.
And my own family.
And people you really love and know well.
That's right.
But what keeps you grounded in your faith in God and also gives you hope?
I think it's important to remember that people don't grieve because their faith is weak. They grieve because their love is strong. And people need to be able to express their feelings. You know, they say us guys, you know, we're all hardballs. But I've seen a lot of guys cry at the funeral of their wife.
Sure.
And part of what we do is, one of the last thing that we do is when we're at the cemetery and the priest or the clergyman finishes the prayers there, it's when it most dramatically demonstrates to people that their life with their loved one is over physically. Mm. But they're always going to be part of their life emotionally and spiritually.
Oh, that's beautiful. You've probably seen many different religious traditions and many kinds of faiths. As a Catholic, when you see a Catholic funeral, how do you feel like that differs from a secular one as far as tone or meaning? Just how do you experience that?
Most of the services that we have a religious component. Mm. And I've shared with you about how important it is that in the Catholic services, the participation that families can have, it gives them ownership of the situation as well. There are some people who do not think that a funeral is meaningful. They want to abbreviate or eliminate certain portions of the service that we talked about. But then at some point in time, they have to start to come back again, because just to take care of their own well-being.
Right.
Yeah.
Imagine when meeting with families, there are many different opinions on what a funeral or service might look like. How do you and your team walk that journey with families, helping to figure out the best way to move forward and bringing people together?
My definition of a funeral is that it's an organized, purposeful, time-limited, flexible, group-centered response with the body present. The important adjective there is flexible. And we have to be flexible enough to, and maybe experienced enough to help a family make those decisions so that everyone feels that they've had a part of the decision-making process, and what they want to do is going to be meaningful to all the family that's involved.
Mm, love that. If you could share a message with listeners about death and grief and eternal life, what would you say to them?
My faith is important to me, and I just don't know how anybody can experience the death of somebody that they love without having faith behind all those feelings. Mm. What an emptiness there must be for people who have no faith and no belief.
So sad. I'd really like to thank you. When my brother-in-law, George, and his wife lost their baby a few weeks before he would be born, 12 years ago now, and you and your team here provided the casket, took care of the services, took care of everything. And just what a kind and loving thing it is to see families who lose babies through during that time. And I know Ruck Funeral Home does that for, you said, babies at St. Joseph's as well as
Mercy.
Mercy. And has,
yes,
done that for years.
Yeah.
Did that? Do you know how that started? And
well, it actually began with Sister Pierre down at the old St. Joe's Hospital on Caroline Street. I'm the oldest of seven children, as I mentioned, but Mom was pregnant 9 times, and one of them was the loss of a baby. And she worked with Sister Pierre down there and the clergy, and I can't remember his name, but that's when we started taking care and helping people.
Oh, how beautiful. Thank you so much. Thank you, Mike Ruck, for being with us today and sharing so much, so many beautiful stories and your wisdom from the years. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Rita. Appreciate it.
For Catholic Review Radio, I'm Rita Bittner. Thanks for listening.
As parents, we want to put our children on the right path, one that leads them to become intelligent, responsible, compassionate adults. That path begins with a Catholic education. Catholic schools inspire academic excellence with a balanced curriculum that integrates music, arts, world language, and Catholic faith, while challenging students in the areas of science, math, and technology. Help your child reach their full potential. Enroll in a Catholic school today.
The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full-time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice-weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at CatholicReview.org. That's CatholicReview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week. Available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.